This week's parsha is Bechukosai. It's the final parsha in Sefer Vayikra, and also just so happens to be that we're just a couple days away from Yom Yerushalayim, and we're a few weeks past Yom HaAtzmaut, so we're in this time period when we think about the land of Israel, the modern state of Israel, and the parsha itself talks a lot about Israel, because in the land of Israel, because it talks about the fact that if we keep the mitzvos, so we'll be able to live peacefully in the land of Israel. And unfortunately, if we don't observe the mitzvos, so the parsha contains the tochacha, the rebuke that's given to the Jewish people, and the ultimate punishment is galus, is exile. And so there's a lot about the land of Israel that's within this parsha. And what I wanted to talk about is the fact that we're about to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, the Six-Day War. My mother is joining us this evening. My mother was actually in Israel studying during the Six-Day War at the Hebrew University on not the Mount Scopus campus, but Rabbi Ramat Gan. You couldn't get to Mount Scopus campus during that period. That it was dangerous. You weren't allowed to go. It was the other side of the border, and so. But post 67, post the war. So what? The city reunification of Yerushalayim, and obviously we know about the euphoria that existed in the Jewish world after the Six-Day War. But we know at the same time, we've been on this up and down journey when it comes to Israel and the state of Israel and the state of the Jewish people in general. Maybe one would have thought, and I'm sure the people did think, that the founding of the State of Israel in 1948, and certainly 1967, the reunification of Yerushalayim, that finally, Mashiach would arrive, peace would be here, and everything would be wonderful. But unfortunately, that's not the case. There's many blessings, of course, many, many blessings, but also great challenges and pain as well. And so what I'd like to discuss today is a Ramban that picks up on this theme and notices something very unique and about the Tochacha, which perhaps even suggests that this is perhaps the process that is going to unfold in the future. And in fact, not only is going to unfold in the future, from now, but also has occurred in the past, but the Torah predicted it many generations beforehand. So what am I referring to? So when you get towards the end of the Tochacha, you often will notice this with the Baal Kori, the person who's reading the Tochacha. So we know that there's a custom that many Baalei Kriya have, that they read the Tochacha in very quickly and in an undertone, like very softly. We don't want to say it too loud. It's all these terrible things that will befall the Jewish people. And it's painful to hear. We hope they never will be fulfilled. Unfortunately, many of them have been fulfilled. But nonetheless, like there's this custom. Not everyone does this custom. Some people think it's not appropriate. Some people think you should always read, all the Torah should be read the same way. But in many, many communities, the custom is to read it quickly and in a little bit of an undertone. And then all of a sudden, before you get to the end, there's one pasuk which is often read in a regular loud voice. And then after you read that pasuk, once again, there's a few more pasukim that read quietly. And it's always very odd, very strange, why there's this one pasuk that doesn't seem to fit. And what am I referring to? So this is all in a parak Chaf Vav, where again, one thing after the other, one punishment after the other, the Torah describes and predicts. And then we're told, and then all of a sudden, v'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avraham eskor, v'aretz eskor. Sounds like a beautiful pasuk. God says, I will recall the covenant I made with Yaakov, the one with Yitzchak, and with Avram, and I'll remember the land. Wow, Hashem will remember the promises, the covenant. Sounds like everything is wonderful. Now we're back in God's good graces. And then all of a sudden, no, back to punishment. The very next pasuk Mem Gimel, va'ores te'azev mehem, v'tzireitz shapsel be'ashma mehem, v'hem yirtzu es avonam, yan v'yan mishpatay ma'asu v'eschukosai ga'alot nafsham. Now what's going to happen And all of a sudden, that the land will be bereft of us, of the people, and it will be appeased, as Shapsosah, right? Here, it's making reference to the fact that one of the reasons for all these punishments for the Jewish people have not properly observed the Shemitah, which we're in right now, and as a result of 70, we have a tradition, 70 Shemitah cycles that weren't properly observed, therefore the 70 years of exile between the first and second temples, and the land will become desolate, and they must gain appeasement for their iniquity because they were revolted by my ordinances because their spirit rejected my decrees. And then we say, but in spite of all this, but while they're in the land of their enemies, I will not be revolted by them. I will not reject them, to obliterate them, to null my covenant. I am Hashem. And ultimately, I will remember the covenant. I took them out of Egypt to be for them for a God. So, and what's strange is that there just seems to be that the Torah jumped the gun. That there is, it seems like this pasuk, that's a very positive pasuk. Again, it's pasuk mem beis, that I'll remember, you know, the covenant that I made with Am Yitzchak and Yaakov in the land. It seems to be it's one pasuk too early, because the first should have said the next pasuk, right? That the land will be bereft of them and I'll be appeased by the sabbaticals. I'll be desolate. So that's a famous question. That's a famous question. What's going on with this? It seems to be out of order. Now, there's one answer that I forget who says this, but I've heard this in the past, that says, no, this pasuk is also part of the punishment, right? That why is God saying, I'm going to remember the covenant I made with Yaakov, with Yitzchak, and with Avram? So the answer is that what's happening is God is saying, because I remember the covenant I made with them, that's why I'm punishing you so much. Because they were so special, right? Your forefathers, right, were so incredible, and I made this beautiful covenant with them, and yet you rejected them, right? You rejected you know, what they passed down to you. I think the parable that they always give is that, again, I forget who says this, but whoever says this, it says, you know, the parable is that, you know, you have two people come before a judge. They do the exact same crime. One person, you know, the judge gives 30 days of community service. And the other guy gets 30 days in jail. So the guy gets 30 days in jail, says, how come I got 30 days in jail? I didn't do anything worse than him. So what does the judge say? The judge says, yeah, you get 30 days in jail because I know your dad. Your father is an upstanding individual. You had a wonderful role model that you could have learned from. This other person, Nebuch, he grew up in a very difficult situation. He had no one positive to learn from. So I have rachmanis on him. But you, listen, you had such a wonderful example. So therefore, you're deserving of this greater punishment. So we, the Jewish people, we had such role models. We had Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's why the punishment. So that's a nice idea, a nice suggestion, how to understand this. But most of the Mefarshim assume that this pasuk is actually a bracha. It's not like God, it's not part of the Tochacha. It's actually a positive thing that Hashem is going to remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But then again, the question, why then the next pasuk seems to revert back to all the bad things again? Okay, that's the question. So Rashi on this second expression of that when the pasuk Memdal, it says that even when you're within the lands of your enemies, as you're in exile, that ultimately I will not reject you. So Rashi says the following. He says, even though there is this, the afen also, afilu ani also imayim, zos apronios, even though I'm doing to them this punishment, asher marti v'yosam be'eretz oyveyam, lo am same, I will not abhor them, l'chalosam, to obliterate them, lafir b'si asher itam. Right? Ultimately, God is saying, I'm not going to remove the covenant in which I made for them. In other words, the way Rashi is reading this all as one long blessing, that according to Rashi, that everything here is just one long expression of Hashem saying that, yeah, I'm going to remember your forefathers. You're going to be not in a good place. You're going to be in exile, but I'm not going to destroy you, right? In other words, You're going to be in exile, but ultimately, because I remember your forefathers, you're not going to be totally destroyed. So again, it's sort of all like, ending off on like on sort of a positive note. It's all sort of ending off on a positive note. That's the way Rashi understands it. But I want to now share with you the Ramban. That's what I want to focus on. Again, I'm addressing this question about the time in which we live. That we live in this time of both great blessing with having a modern state of Israel, all right, a Yom HaSmud, the Yom Yerushalayim, and at the same time, it hasn't been easy. At the same time, every time we hope there's peace, there's not peace, and there's continued struggle. How do we, deal with that? And so the Ramban says the following. Let me get the exact words. The Ramban says, "Tamo esquer haaretz shepara shabastos v'nezav mehem." He says, "I will remember the land. Right, I'll remember the land that you didn't properly keep. Right, you didn't properly keep the Shemitah, and as a result, you didn't keep the Shemitah. Therefore, you were exiled from the land." And I will remember that as a result of you not being there, so the land was appeased, right? And then ultimately we're forgiven. In other words, the time that we're not in the land of Israel, so that's the kapara, that's the atonement. That is the atonement of the time that we are not there. But then he says the following. Get to the right place. Al Dati says, my opinion is the following. That the Jewish people at a certain point are going to recognize their mistake. At a certain point, the Jewish people are going to understand that ultimately they were at fault, that they had sinned. How does he know that? Because that's two psukim earlier. What does the pasuk say in pasuk mem? Visvadu esavonam vesavonavosam. Right? You're kicked out of the land. The land is resting, as he pointed out. Right? And you're now in exile, and life is terrible. You're in exile. You're in Spain. You're in Germany. You're in France. You're in Russia. Ukraine. It's America. It's terrible. And at a certain point, this you're going to eventually confess your sins. You're going to admit your mistakes. The malosh and maluvi, that which you rebelled against me. And you acted with me, bekeri, with casualness. You didn't see my role in the world. Eventually, you're going to notice that, and you're going to do teshuva. You're going to repent. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that Hashem, as the next pasuk says, Yelchim on Bekeri, Hashem will continue at that point. You're still maybe deserving a punishment. It's not like the punishment necessarily is over. But Yavio Osam Od Be'eretz Oyveim Achi Kana Lavavam Harel, and God will once again bring them to the land of their enemies, and their hearts will be humbled. In other words, it will be an ongoing process of atonement that is going to occur. And this is now, here's the key. What's going to happen? God said God's going to bring them back to the land, but who's going to be there? In other words, you're going to start the process of returning. This is as we say. You're going to start the process of doing teshuvah. As a result, Hashem's going to meet you halfway, and he's going to bring you back to the land of Israel eventually. But you know what's going to happen in return to the land of Israel? So again, his words are, Hayulahem tsarim v'oivim sham. You know what you're going to find there? You're going to find people don't want you to be there. You're going to find enemies and people that are going to fight against you. They're going to try to harm you. In other words, The process will not have yet be complete. That the return and your teshuvah is not going to be the way that Hashem ultimately wants. But because you began the process, Hashem will bring you back. Kemoshin Amar Vyomir Tsarino Vikashir Shamuraivenu. And he says he invokes the time of Shivas Tzion. What is Shivas Tzion? Shivas Tzion was the period when the Jews are returned to rebuild the second base of Migdash, right after the 70 years of exile. And so if you know your history, you study the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, right? You study Chazal, so the Jews return, and was everything wonderful when they returned? Absolutely not. First of all, not all the Jews returned. Many were still in exile. Many Jews didn't get the message. And even for those who did return, guess what? There were people in Israel who didn't want them there, right? At that time, it was the Samaritans, right, who were there, and they sent word back to Koresh, to Cyrus, that the Jews were trying to rebel against them, and Cyrus made them a temporary halt to the construction of the base of Migdash. They were in Israel, but it wasn't the time of Shlomo HaMelech when the Jews were at peace. Continues the Ramban, the land was still in the hands of the nations, right? It was still under the control of the UN, of the British mandate, right? It was still, the United States was still pulling strings and saying what you can and cannot do. Kemosha Amar Ezra B'Tzvilas, as Ezra himself points out, Hinei Anachnu Hayom Avadim, Ezra himself, we're still slaves. Right, the great Ezra, right, who led the Jewish people at that time, were still slaves. The land that God has given to us, we're slaves upon it. Right, we can't build there without looking the other way and see if the United States will agree to what we're doing. Right, we gotta figure out whether the UN is going to condemn us. Right, we're going to be brought before the UN, whatever rights council, whatever the Hague, whatever it is. And so what's good, one line. He says, once again, we're slaves upon it, and its produce grows, right? A lot is growing in the land. But you know who's benefiting from what is growing? The Malachim, Hashem Asatolim, B'chatoseinu. It's for the kings, right? We thought we have to give pay a tax to Cyrus, whatever it is. We can't enjoy the fruits of our own labor. V'agiyoseinu mushlim v'vemteinu nekirtzonam. Right, and they're still ruling over our bodies and over our animals as they please. V'tzor gadol nachnu, we're great distress, says Ezra. So, in other words, what's happening here? It's the slow process, right? It's the Jewish people in exile, right? In suffering terribly outside the land of Israel, ultimately beginning the process of doing teshuva, Hashem allowing us to return, but our teshuva is not complete, right? It's still somewhat lacking. And therefore, what's going to happen is that Hashem is going to still send us messages in the land of Israel. Right? And he's going to remind us that we're still not where we're supposed to be. And he says, so now that was how the pasuk works. Right? So let me just now read the pasuk according to this. What happens is that the Jews are going to do teshuvah, and at that point, Hashem is going to be pleased that they started the process. I'll remember the covenant that I made down to Yaakov. I'll remember the land, and I'll bring you back to the land. But what's going to happen is that because you're tzuas avonam yam yam mashmatayim masu, because you still are still somewhat forsaking my ordinances and my covenants and my mitzvos, so I, Hashem, are still going to not, make this the ultimate and final redemption. But what's going to happen? Ultimately, you will return, right? Ultimately, you will do a complete teshuvah, and ultimately, at that point, so as it concludes, at that point, it says again, "V'zachariti lam bris rishonim." Then I'm going to remember the ultimate covenant. Asher otzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim, when I took you out of Egypt, l'nei goyim l'yoslam l'elokim ani Hashem. When I ultimately completely redeemed you from the Egyptians, when you no longer under any threats. I will ultimately remember that. I'll be for you for God, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. So the Rabban, I think, is saying here something very powerful. And that is, you know, we often have this vision or this hope, and we've also often assume that like redemption happens in an instant, right? That it happens in a blink of eye, that, you know, things are terrible, and all of a sudden, all of a sudden, the distance, you hear the shofar being sound, you look out your window, and there's the Mashiach. And then everything is wonderful. But the Ramban says that's not how redemption occurs. Right? Redemption, he says, is a process. Redemption is something that takes time. And as an example, so look what happened this time, the second Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't all wonderful. It was a drawn out a process. It took a lot of time. And even when we actually went back to Israel, we still had our enemies. We still had people giving us problems in the land of Israel. The Beis HaMikdash was not built right away. Not all the Jews returned. All the Jews got the message. All the Jews were interested, right? It's going to take a lot of time. And it's interesting, you can even argue, even with the Exodus from Egypt, right? Even you'd see his Mitzrayim. It was not like a 1-2-3 process, right? It was that whole year of the plagues. And, you know, even when the Jews ultimately, you know, left Egypt, they still were chased by the Egyptians. And then, you know, Amalek, you know, wasn't a linear, easy process. A lot of back and forth, a lot of up and down. But it's a process. And when you return to Israel, so that's an unbelievable sign. That's a sign that you're on track, right? That you're heading in the right direction, and that it may be still rough up ahead, but you know, if you continue doing what you're doing, continuing returning to Hashem and then devoting yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so ultimate redemption could be at hand. There's a very powerful Gemara Yerushalmi that talks about these rabbis who are walking in Israel in this valley, and it's very dark, and all of a sudden, you know, slowly the as night begins to turn to day, and there's a little bit of light that it begins to appear. The dawn, you know, is beginning, and there's like a little bit of light, and then finally, then the sun, then it begins to rises above the mountains, and then, you know, it's shining brightly. And so one rabbi turns to the other and says, "Kach kulasam shel Yisrael." He says, "That's how the redemption is going to occur." He says, "Like kima kima, to be like step by step. It's like the dawn. The dawn. When you go out and it's you know early morning. You know, and it's still dark. There's a little bit of a light over the horizon, and it just slowly gets brighter and brighter. But it's a very slow process. And finally, that then the sun appears. When the sun appears, all of a sudden." Then it's completely bright. So he says that's how geula, that's how redemption is going to unfold. And what the Ramban is suggesting, that the Torah itself is already telling us this. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the book of Vayikra comes to a close, and as the Jewish people themselves, remember at this point, the Jewish people were about to enter the land of Israel at this point. Right? The Jewish is before the sin of the spies. So the Jews are about to enter. So Hashem is going to warn them that, again, being in Israel is contingent upon us keeping the mitzvot, observing the Torah. And if we don't, we're going to be removed. Right? Hashem tells us that quite explicitly, we're going to be removed. How are we going to come back? So Hashem says it's not going to be 1, 2, 3, you're going to come back. Right, there's going to be this very difficult, dark period, this period of tochacha, of rebuke and pain and suffering collectively for the Jewish people, that Hashem says, you know, we don't totally understand, but Hashem says that's what's going to unfold. And unfortunately, time and again, we've experienced this in our history with Korban and with crusades and pogroms and blood libels and, you know, Cossacks and the massacres and the Holocaust and one thing after the next. But ultimately, we, the Jewish people, Hashem says, you're going to return. But when you return, you should just know it's not going to be a 1-2-3 process, right? It's going to be a little bit of a back and forth. That's the model for how redemption is going to occur. And perhaps it's just a dream that it's going to occur immediately. And that's almost an impossibility because that's like a light switch, like a total 180, a complete transformation in an instant. And that doesn't happen usually, right? Usually it's little by little. You take baby steps. And sometimes when you're taking those baby steps forward, sometimes you also take some steps backward. And so Hashem says, I'm going to meet you wherever you are. You're taking forward, I'm going to go with you forward. You're going backward, I'm going to meet. I'm going to have, unfortunately, there's going to be some setbacks and some difficulties along the way as well. But ultimately, you keep that forward projection. So there'll be a Yom HaAtzmaut, right? And there'll be a Yom Yerushalayim. And it may not be the ultimate gula, but as we say in the tefillah of the that was so beautifully composed, the tefillah for the state of Israel, where we say we refer to the land of the state of Israel, Tzur Yisrael v'Goalo, Bereches Medinas Yisrael. We say Reishis Smichas Guloseinu. How to refer to the state of Israel? The beginning of the flowering of redemption, right? That the authors are very careful. Right, they didn't call the state of Israel in 1948, 1949, wherever exactly the field was composed, as the state of Israel, Gulasenu, our redemption. They didn't even call it the beginning of our redemption, right, or the flowering of redemption. They called it the beginning of the flowering of redemption, right? It's as far away from redemption as possible, but still is redemption, right? It's still part. We recognize that something profound has occurred, something transformational has happened. With the state, it's not perfect. There's lots of problems. Our enemies are still there. It's still not a state that's governed by completely by Torah values and things like that. But it's something. And every step forward is another getting closer and closer to that ultimate geula. So hopefully we're past the reishis and maybe now we're in the smichas, in the flowering. We could maybe even drop the reishis. Who knows? We don't. We're not prophets to say that. Hopefully we are, but ultimately, again, we continue this march forward. Ultimately, we will see the ultimate Gulasena, the ultimate Geula, and that's the chizuk, the strength, and the encouragement that God gives the Jewish people. That even when you're facing these great difficulties, shouldn't give up. Continue to return, to do your vidui, your confession, your reconnect with me. I, Hashem, will never forget. I will not forget the bris, the covenant that I made with your forefathers, Haaretz Hazkor, the land I will remember. And even when you're facing difficulty in that land, though ultimately Hashem says, Zachartzim bris pishonim. Ultimately, I'll never forget the ultimate covenant. I took you out of Egypt, and I'm going to do it for you again. Okay, I want to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.